Thank you for listening to this lesson presented by Reverend Millage Mosby. We affirm that this lesson has inspired and uplifted you and given you practical tools you can use to divinely guide you in every aspect of your life. We give thanks that as a listener of our online Sunday lessons, you are open to donating to support this web ministry. Please click on the donate button and follow your inner guidance. Thank you, and we continue to hold you in the light.
So this is probably the last of this particular series, God is Right Here, Right Now. And we've been, you know, talking about this idea that, you know, life is consciousness. As my favorite teacher used to say, Ed Rabel, consciousness is king, and everything comes from that. You know, so it's the idea if you're lacking anything in your life, whether it's adequate finances or health or love in your relationships or time to do the things you really want to do, or if you lack a sense of purpose or whatever it is you feel you're lacking, then according to what we are exploring about consciousness, it is that which is impacting our lives. It is something in our consciousness that's been impacting our lives, and it's time to take note of what you're feeling, thinking, saying, and doing that might be contributing to what you're experiencing, okay? And that's, you know, that's a tough one. Isn't that a tough thing to think about? But it seems lately that everything I'm reading is, you know, pushing in that or talking in that direction. I think I'll tell you, I'm reading a lot of the works of Richard Rohr, R-O-H-R, who is a Franciscan priest. His works are just phenomenal. But he's talking about that whole idea that we are creating our experience. You know, and we've been studying in most of these lessons that each of our lives, again, is a manifestation of consciousness, both individual and collective. You know, so yes, we have individual things going on in our lives, but let's say as a unity community, we are collectively also creating a certain experience. Does that make you follow what I'm saying? Okay. So, you know, we are each experiencing the outpicturing of our inner belief system in our inner state of mind. Okay. And when we, you know, insist on living our lives without taking the time to understand the basic principles, we continuously find ourselves running into situations where we're desperately crying out, you know, God, please help me. Because as Agnes was saying this morning, you know, we're having these experiences sometimes. We're going, why am I going through this? You know, why me, God? Why do I have to go through this? But rarely in our crying out do we think to ask God to change us by revealing to us what it is we need to do differently or how we need to see people and things differently. Does that make sense? Okay. Again, Michelle Ernest Holmes, I always have to go to Ernest here. he puts it this way. One of the great difficulties in the new order of thought is that we are likely to indulge in too much theory and too little practice. As a matter of fact, we only know as much as we can prove by actual demonstration in our lives. So the process is practice, practice, practice. I keep a notebook by my television because, you know, it's constantly things are being said. And I go, oh, I need to write that down, right? Okay. But here's some of the sayings that I've written down. One is, and none of you have seen this movie, is Ringo. Anybody seen Ringo? Anyway, it's an animated cartoon about a lizard who wanders into a town and he can't fulfill his mission. And so he wanders back out into the desert. He runs into the spirit of the desert, who happens to be Clint Eastwood, who says this to him as he's trying to walk away from what he considers to be a failure. He says, no man can walk away from his own story. That's deep for a cartoon movie, right? And, you know, meaning, you know, whatever you're going through, you have to get through it. It is second force. Everybody knows second force by now, right? Okay. As scripture says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. But notice it says, yea, though I walk what? Through the valley of the shadow of death. You're not stopping and sitting down and moaning. You got to go through the valley of the shadow. You know, as we can shout out, you know, but you know, we'll say, but you don't know what I'm going through. But another TV character said, to exist and grow and prosper is to survive seemingly unfair circumstances. Let me say it again.
Yes.
To exist, grow, and prosper is to survive seemingly unfair circumstances. You know? And that's, again, that's going what? Through the valley, right? And this next quote goes along with what Ernest Holmes said about theory versus practice. Knowledge is merely a rumor until it has some time to live in your mind, body, and soul. These little bits of wisdom, you know, and you got to catch them. You know, it's like, oh, and write that down real quick. But that's really powerful. Yeah, you have knowledge, but if it does not really sit with you and you really come, you know, comprehend and begin to work with it, it's really just knowledge. Okay? And this next one is the key to it all. Only a person of great determination and courage can swim to the other side. And, you know, that's what we're doing here. We're striving to swim to the other side. We're striving to move from the illusion of ego self to the truth of our spiritual self. That's what we're trying to do, okay? But again, as Ernest Holmes says, this takes a lot of practice. We have to develop ourselves spiritually. We have to develop ourselves spiritually. In a continuous, dedicated, disciplined practice of spiritual principles, and every phase of our lives is the way to become spiritual, right? In the book, Spiritual Fitness, How to Live in Truth and Trust by Carolyn Reynolds, she says, just as physical fitness is essential for our physical health, spiritual fitness is essential for a balanced life and offers unlimited benefits for everyone. It enables us to define our values, find meaningful ways to understand and deal with the challenges in our lives, and express our true purpose in our ever-changing world. So the thing is, we have to work out all the time, right? And you have to find that fitness, that spiritual fitness program that works for you, just like you have to find that physical fitness program that works for you. Some people will say, well, I really don't want to go to the gym and lift weights, but I love dancing. You know what I'm saying? So you find out whatever it is for you that's going to give you that fitness program that you're going to do diligently every single day. You know, and however, you know, many of the thinking processes that we go through, these feelings and challenges that we have, you know, a lot of these are like old friends to us. You know, we've been doing this for a long time. You know what I'm saying? Hold on one second. You know, we felt this process inside of us for a very long time, and we kind of saying to ourselves, well, how do I let that go? How do I let go of these old friends that I have, you know? But, you know, as we struggle through life, we have to realize that, you know, even, you know, Jesus had a saying, which I say probably once a month about these old friends, is you have to say to them sometimes, what? Get thee behind me, Satan, right? Is that, you know, they've been hanging in there with you and, you know, doing this thing, but you have to say to them, he said, no, this is not where I'm going anymore. You know, and again, just to review Matthew 16:23. Jesus did say, get thee behind me, Satan, to Peter. But he said to him, you are a stumbling block to me. That's what you got to remember. You are a stumbling block. I'm trying to come from love and forgiveness or strength and courage or faith or whatever. And this, you know, these things keep coming up, which keep holding me back. And you have to say, no, you're a stumbling block to me. He said, you do not have in mind the thoughts of God, but rather you have the thoughts of men. Meaning you have the fear that keeps people from doing what they want to do. And you got to remember, you know, when Jesus used the word Satan, again, that's the word adversary. And I just want to bring up, too, that I asked a few people last week, what would you like to see happen in the next retreat? And we started talking about the idea of metaphysics. That a lot of people, folks, even though they come here, they really don't understand the whole dynamics of metaphysics and looking at the Bible metaphysically. So the folks I was talking to came up with a title for the next retreat, which is Metaphysics, the Language of Unity. And that's what we're going to talk about. Because I want you to understand how to look at Scripture and make these metaphysical interpretations, okay? So when you think about the adversary, the Satan is the adversary, which in metaphysical Christianity is interpreted as being our own thoughts that are adversarial deterrents to our spiritual growth. So there is no devil, and as Richard Rohr is talking about. He says when Jesus went into the wilderness, there was no critter out there called the devil. It was his own inner dynamics that he was working with. He had to get through that before he could enter truly into the ministry. You follow me? So it's understanding that idea that those thoughts are our own inner dynamics. So the word to deter means to prevent or discourage from occurring by using fear or doubt. So the adversary are those thoughts and feelings we give refuge to that use fear and doubt to keep us from expressing love, faith, understanding, patience, forgiveness, and so forth. And notice I said we give refuge to those ideas. We let them be inside of us. You get what I'm saying? You know, it's almost like we use them as an arsenal to keep us from doing certain things or being a certain way. So these are the feelings and thoughts we want to have the courage to rebuke and let go. Thus the scripture, get thee behind me. Okay. So in addition, when we pray, what we're really asking for is clarity and understanding. And often when we pray, what we're praying for is not what we really need. All right? We'll pray asking sort of like, you know, why do I have to go through this? But that's not the right question. All right? And so you will say to me, what is the right question? Well, when you sit in the silence, the right question percolates up inside of you. You feel the right question come to you. So it's the difference between emotionally asking God to do something and becoming still and feeling this energy that comes up inside of you that lets you know what the right question is, what the right thing is to ask. So, you know, rarely do we need, for example, listen to this. Rarely do we need healing for our bodies as much as we need healing of our mind, the origin of all our illnesses. Rarely do we need healing of our relationships as much as we need healing of our hearts, the origin of our perceptions about love. Rarely do we need healing of our finances as much as we need healing of our beliefs about what we're truly worthy of. You know, so it's like, what is the question that I really need to ask? So it's probably safe to say that at one time or another, many of us have wondered, where is God when I need him the most? All right, be real, okay? Or why is God not taking care of this situation or condition which is causing me so much strife? And I was, again, with my chiropractor yesterday. I simply bent over to tie my shoe on Friday and my back went out. You know, don't worry about it. I'm cool. I'm good, you know. So I called him up. You know, he said, meet me over there. We went on. We were talking. And, you know, he was saying that, you know, that period of time, that 6 months I went through where my back, you know, I was in unbelievable pain for 6 months. He said, you know, I didn't really understand why you were going through that, because he's been working on me for about 30 years. And every time I had a little problem, he'd just go in and tweak it. You know, like right now, I'm fine. He does a little thing and I'm fine. He says, I could not understand why you were going through that. And I know what it was about Pam and I getting ready to go away, about playing golf. He says, I don't know how do you feel about having had to give up golf? And I said, you know, that pain lasted long enough for me to understand that I had to change totally in many ways. Because every time it would slow down a little bit, I would want to go right back to what I had been doing. The same workout, the same everything. And the pain would come back and says, no. Yeah, we're not doing that. Exactly. All right. So the answer to the question, how am I able to give up those things that I can't do anymore, is the pain lasted long enough for me to understand that I had to go in a different direction. You get it? So I give that as an example that some of the things we're going through, it'll last until you get it. Okay? So, you know, but, you know, we got to understand from a spiritual perspective that we, you know, we live and move and have our being in this divine substance, and it's always taking care of our needs, but we have to surrender to that process. And that's the difficult thing for us, is how do I surrender? We got to understand that the work of the Holy Spirit is doing is healing our hearts, our minds, our beliefs, to help us see the conditions or situations in our lives differently. So you'll ask for the Holy Spirit to change this situation, but the Holy Spirit says, no, I'm going to change you so you see it differently, right? This thing out here has got nothing to do with you. How you're reacting to it, that's what needs to be looked at, okay? And so then for the most part, what we are experiencing is what mystics call, now listen to this, living in sin. Now, let's look at this metaphysically. In the book, A New Earth, again, by Eckhart Tolle, he says, living in sin from a spiritual perspective is missing the point of the human existence. Okay? Meaning, you're living an unskillfully, blindly, and thus life which causes you to suffer and cause suffering on others. So we're living unskillfully. You say, well, what's the skill that I need? It's the skill that Jesus and Buddha and other great masters have taught us through the centuries. The skill of how to live from love and compassion, okay? So the question is, what is the point of human existence? Or more specifically, what is the point of my life? The answer is, has been, and always will be, that the point of our life is to heal. It's to heal from the illusion of fear and doubt and, you know, and believing that all this is going on out here, and as I'm getting ready to say it, I got to smile at myself, that all that's going on out here is merely an illusion. And you know, I had to smile at myself when I said it, because it seems real, right? It seems real, it feels real, right? But it's probably no different from if you go down to Orlando and get on one of those rides. You ever see the ride where you go through the human body? You're like, you're riding through the human body. You feel like you're really in it. You're right. And then you come out and you walk outside. Boy, boy, that was something. Right? But it was what? An illusion. Okay. So that's a tough, and you really can't say that to anybody. Yeah. You can't say that to any group even, you know, it's just understanding that there is more to life than what I'm actually seeing. There's more to this situation than what I'm actually seeing. So we're here to experience a deep and profound healing, and in the process, provide means for others to heal as well. You get it? All right? So it's just not about our own healing, but we're becoming sort of a beacon of healing. So we can be making all the money that we want, but in the process, if we're not experiencing the healing power of love, we are really accomplishing nothing. Healing is the point of human existence. And what do we want to heal from? Anything that keeps us from expressing love. And again, if you read, you know, Gary Zukav's book, he says, an aspect of your soul chose to come into this experience to heal that aspect of itself. Which means that when you finish this healing, there's more to come back and work on again. Okay, it's a multiple process. It's not a one-time process. It's not a two-time process. Don't even ask the question how many times. It's ever how many times it what? It takes, exactly. You know, and again, you know, Buddha and Jesus and ever the great other great masters or mystics in history, you know, this is what they did. If you read their stories, they had their own stuff to go through, right? But the key is, not only did they go through that stuff and create profound healing, but they created a plan of action which, if followed, will heal us also. All right? And that's the key. So the key to being healed is to work on your willingness to be healed. That's the key, right? Because the ego really does not want to be healed. The ego likes what it's doing. Right? The ego likes what it's doing. It does not want to be healed. So as you heard me say before, the ego cannot heal itself of the delusion in which it is entrapped. But we can work on being willing to be healed. And the other thing about, you know, this idea of illusion is that, you know, we'll look at each other and go, what the heck is wrong with you? And then your person will go, what do you mean? What I'm doing is real. What you're doing is not real. Am I right? Yeah. All right? So we constantly looking at each other and going, that makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. So that's a clear indication that purely what we are seeing individually is merely an illusion. We are deluded into believing that we are right and you're wrong. So if everybody is believing that, then everybody is insane, as the Course in Miracles said. Right? I mean, you look at the news right now, and you know, you say to yourself, how could those people be doing that? And they're looking at you going, how can you not be doing this? So that means, thank you, God, for helping me to explain how this is truly an illusion. Right? So remember, we can always just keep doing what we have been doing and getting the same results. Or for those areas of our lives where we desire change, we can become open to inner guidance as how to live our lives differently. And throughout our lives, we're constantly making choices. And I'm referring to good choices and perceivably not good choices, okay? But for the purpose of this lesson, I want you to understand that choices are neither right or wrong, good or bad. Choices are just choices. And every choice provides the chooser with the opportunity to learn from the experience brought on by that choice. The real sin or lack of skillful living is not choosing and leaving yourself dangling in the universe. Make a choice and then live with that choice. You know, learn from that choice about what you're going through. You know, and as our lives, you know, all of our lives we've made choices. You know, and as we do that, you know, we keep asking ourselves, was this the right thing that I did? But when you begin to truly consciously work with the Holy Spirit, you come to understand that it's not about what you can do. It's about what you can allow to be done through you. That's really the whole idea. Working with God or allowing God the opportunity to work through you is very different from anything you have ever experienced or attempted in your life. Did everybody just hear that? Right? When you allow the Holy Spirit to work through you, it really takes courage, because the Holy Spirit is going to ask you to do things that go completely against what you presently believe you are capable of doing or even want to do. You've got to become open to that process moving through you. And I believe that the universal force that we call God is always seeking to establish itself within us and express itself through us as a gift of love to the world. However, there must be some level of conscious awareness of this inner unfolding, because the recipient must at some level allow it to unfold. It is not necessary that you know that it's God's plan unfolding in you, but it is necessary that you consciously aware that something that feels right is trying to move through you. You get what I'm saying? You know, it's not, you have to go, oh, this got to be God's plan. You know, I tell you, it's like I tell you, when we used to go down to Unity Village and people would go into the Peace Chapel and they would come out and go, I just heard God say, I should become a minister. You know, and then one of the teachers said, you sure God wasn't talking to the person sitting behind you? Right? So it's not about, you know, you feel it's God's plan, but you feel it is right to do this particular thing, you know? And that rightness usually cannot be measured with the typical economic measuring stick of money, power, fortune, or fame. So sometimes the things you do, they're the right thing to do, but nobody's going to see it but you. You get what I'm saying? All right? And when you begin to understand Jesus' statement, many are called, but few are chosen, we realize that the call of spirit requires the individual to surrender his or her ego agenda to allow the divine plan to unfold within them. And I believe that the calling is the universe letting the individual know that there is something of universal importance that needs to be accomplished by your particular life. You get it? You know, the universe is saying to you, you need to do this. I need you to do this. Now, don't worry, because I am with you and I'm going to guide you through this process. But I need you to do it. Because a lot of times we'll say, well, can't he do it? No, I got something else for him or her to do. I need you to do this particular thing, okay? And I believe that the calling is for the individual to let go and let God use you for something you presently may not understand. The calling is a summons from the universe for you to surrender the guidance to your guides to the power and presence of God within you that will transform you so that you can do truly what seems to be impossible things, all right? So the transformation process will call for the individual being transformed to release and let go. That's the big thing. I release and let go. Say it with me. I release and let go. And what are you releasing and let go? You're releasing and let go of all forms of unforgiveness for anyone and everyone, regardless of the transgression. The transformation process will call for you, the one being transformed, to let go of all forms of fear, hatred, anger, hostility, resentment of any kind, especially for yourself. The transformation process will call for the one being transformed to acknowledge with every fiber of his or her being that God is now in charge of my life and affairs. And just to flow with that. And after hearing the requirements for responding to the call, you understand why few are chosen, right? Being chosen requires a state of conscious awareness that something significant is taking place within one's own being and one's own life. And if the person being called is not willing to let go, if the person being called is not willing to be transformed, they will not respond, and thus they will not be called. God is not going to make you do anything. God will present the idea. If you choose to grab up a bag of nachos and watch TV, God is like, okay. Right? And every one of us has a yearning to be called by Spirit. Everybody has a yearning to be called by Spirit, even if we do not realize that that is what we're feeling. The desire to be called is why you are here in church today. It's why you go to classes. It's why you read so many books. It's why you spend time in prayer and meditation and contemplation about your life. It's why you even worry. Everything that you're doing is because you're yearning to be called. And it's why you read so many books and want to know, what is this thing called God really all about? Because really, we don't really understand. As much as we study, we really don't understand. And the word God actually means that which is unknowable. Okay? And some of us already are answering the call. And many of us have no idea what the call will be. But the important thing to understand is that you are being called, and God needs every one of us to fulfill God's will on this planet. And that made sense, didn't it? God needs every one of us to fulfill God's need on this planet. And God's will is fulfilled when, through whatever your work or profession may be, you do all that you can to allow the glory of God to be revealed through you. So that means you don't have to stop being an accountant or a lawyer or whatever to do the God's work. It's whatever you are doing, you can allow the glory of God to flow through you. All right? And so God, you know, so the idea here is, how do I become open and receptive to this process? How do I allow myself to be given into this process? And the thing here is, you know, Myrtle Fillmore, for those who don't know, Myrtle Fillmore is a co-founder of Unity with Charles Fillmore. This was her mission. She said, our mission is not to entertain one's present state of confused human consciousness, but to help the individual to call out to his or her divine potential, to accept the person wherever he or she is to be compassionate, right? But to merely entertain that person who is lost in human confusion is to dwarf that person and make him or her dependent. To help that person discover and call out to his or her divine potential is to help that person follow the harmonious progression of their soul's unfoldment. It is to help that person discover his or her gift to the world. So it's the key here is that, you know, Unity people have a tendency to think that they know it all, right? And they come across some person, they try to whip out their Unity guns and shoot them blown away, right? The key is, you know, is we need to be in a position where we accept each other as we are. But through our own divine unfoldment, we can set an example for people to perceive something different. It's like, you know, the students in my class, they don't know that I'm a minister. But I think I told you the last day of class, I asked them, what did you learn in this marketing class? And they said a few things like the four P's and blah, blah, blah. But then one young lady from Bermuda, she's from Bermuda, she said, I learned that I am a spiritual being. And I never even said that in class. And then once she said that, then all the other kids started talking about all the divine things that they had learned in class. And I never used that language in class. All right? So that's what I'm saying. You can become an instrument of the idea without trying to shove it down people's throats. Okay? And so, you know, that's what we in Unity Center of Light desire to do. And that's actually our mission statement. Now, this is not the time to start playing the game, though, of maybe I should have or only if I could have. You know, the thought to ponder is, how do I allow the divine potential within me the opportunity to express itself through me right here, right now, right where I am? Now, I want to end with this thought from Ephesians 3, 14 through 20. I just thought this was a good summary of this talk. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and earth. I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower me with inner strength through his Spirit. And then Christ will make his home in my heart as I trust in him. My roots will grow down into God's love and keep me strong. And may I have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is. May I experience the love of Christ, even though it is too great for me to fully understand. And then I will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within me to accomplish infinitely more than I can even be able to ask for, imagine, or comprehend. And so it is. Amen.